I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast brought to you by Site Visibility. I'm your host, Scott Colnutt, and today I'm joined by Paul Rogers, e-commerce consultant and founder of Vivant. And we're going to be talking about the pros and cons of Shopify for SMEs. So good morning to you, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, great, thanks. I'm really looking forward to discussing the ins and outs and Shopify. It's been a little while since I've discussed Shopify in detail with anyone, and just the emergence of Shopify over these last, in particular for me, that stands out over these last 3 years. But Shopify first came onto my radar maybe 6 years ago, I'm going to say, maybe even longer. And it just feels like the go-to platform for SMEs, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, people that are looking to start e-commerce stores. But before we go into the detail of Shopify, can you take a moment to introduce yourself, maybe describe your background and your role at Vivant?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I am an e-commerce consultant. I've been working in e-com for about 12, 13 years, something like that. And over the last kind of 5 or 6 years, I've been focusing primarily on replatforming. So as a business, if Vivant have an e-com team of three, and most of our projects would be either kind of platform assessment projects where we'd kind of gather requirements and kind of build out specs and then kind of agree solutions based on a platform and various kind of third parties. But then we'd also kind of support the delivery of projects as well. So kind of either project managing a replatforming project or kind of offering like technical solution support, essentially. And then the last kind of offering as part of the e-com side is road mapping, really, and kind of supporting ongoing kind of customer experience and growth initiatives, essentially. And then in terms of platforms as well, so we work a lot with Shopify Plus. So over the last 2 or 3 years, kind of as you said, Shopify has, you know, really grown. And our average client is kind of a premium mid-market multi-channel brand. And I think that's one of the biggest areas of kind of growth for Shopify Plus. My background is mostly Magento, and we still do a lot of work with Magento as well. And then we have a few clients on platforms like BigCommerce and Salesforce Commerce Cloud as well. And then in terms of Vivant, so Vivant's been going for about 2.5 years now. We're a team of 11, and there's 3 on the e-com side and then 8 on the paid media side, which is the other side of the business.
Amazing. And I guess has there been an acceleration in your business and a rise in your business alongside this emergence of, I guess, easier to use e-commerce platforms?
Yeah, 100%. So I think right now, particularly in like that little gap of the market that we're in, there's a lot of movement towards SaaS platforms. So BigCommerce and Shopify being two of the kind of lower mid-market solutions. And then you've got Salesforce as like a commonly used one in the kind of mid-market and enterprise bracket. And I guess out of those, you know, like Shopify's growth in the last 2 or 3 years has been insane. Yeah, and I think that's definitely been a big part of kind of not necessarily our growth, but certainly a lot of our projects have come from retailers moving from either a bespoke platform or, you know, a Magento one, which is at end of life or was at end of life stage, and then kind of reviewing their requirements and deciding that they want to be on Shopify Plus or Shopify, and essentially kind of deciding that, you know, Shopify as a SaaS platform might require some compromising areas, but equally they can be a lot more kind of self-sufficient. There's a lot less focus on kind of maintenance. And ultimately, they're going to save money, and they're more agile. So, yeah, that's definitely been like a bit of a shift that's impacted us quite a lot.
Yeah, you said something as you were talking there, which is really interesting to me, and is in one of my kind of questions to you. So, I was going to ask, why do you think Shopify has emerged so quickly as kind of the number one player in that e-commerce space? And it seems like partly the reason is that life cycle of Magento one and people having to make that decision, you know, do they stick with Magento or do they make the leap to a new platform? So can you maybe speak on some of the reasons that you've seen for Shopify taking such a big market share? And also maybe if there are other platforms that you think have done a bad job over the years of improving their product, why people were maybe moving on from those platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess ultimately, there's not really like a perfect platform, and, you know, like all platforms have limitations, and like platforms are constantly changing as well. And I'd say with the Magento One piece, I think Magento One pre-Adobe, you know, like as it was before, was a very different platform to what Magento Two is now. And ultimately, there are a lot of businesses on Magento One that weren't right for Magento Two. And I think Shopify had, like, the right time created like a really compelling offering and like kind of extended different areas of the platform and improved different areas of the platform that just made it a perfect fit. And like, you know, for a lot of the brands, you know, they've got a really good multi-channel offering now with like the improvements they've made to the POS. They're just like, they're constantly introducing new features from kind of like a PIM and merchandising perspective. Like, I feel like, Shopify has come a long way, and particularly on the brand side, they've got some insane customers. And I think our case studies, so people like Gymshark, people like Simba Sleep, Allbirds, etc., like these kind of zero to 50, 100, 150 million online businesses that kind of really attract similar businesses and other brands. And in terms of kind of actual benefits, and like, I think the reason a lot of these people are going to Plus, big part of it comes down to like maintenance, I guess, as I mentioned before, and Shopify being a SaaS kind of hosted platform, and really like, I guess, allowing the business to focus more on kind of marketing, merchandising. And then beyond that, so the kind of total cost of ownership of a Shopify store is generally lower for kind of mid-market or SMB mid-market brand or retailer. And there's a lot more agility, which I mentioned before. And I think also Shopify's ecosystem is very impressive. So, and this is another big part of their growth that doesn't get talked about quite as much, but they've got a really strong ecosystem of like technology partners, kind of smaller app developers, and also agencies as well, like some really strong development agencies that can build like a really good, strong, highly customized Shopify store for a much lower amount of money than a lot of the kind of Magento agencies. And that's not necessarily, I think there's just, you know, Magento, there's a lot more need from a back-end perspective in particular. And that then has kind of created higher costs all around the platform. And the only thing I would say is like with that M1 to M2 piece, so there's definitely a lot of scenarios where Magento 2 is a better fit than Shopify as well. But it's generally more of like a complex retailer, or they've got kind of specific requirements that really just push Shopify a bit too far. And generally, if you've got like a set of requirements, you're looking at Magento 2 versus Shopify. It might be that Shopify can actually, you know, ultimately achieve a lot of those requirements, but there might be knock-on effects. And certainly as you start to scale, where you've got kind of different workarounds in places, so for things like potentially B2B, like really complex international, like really complex product catalogs, when you start to kind of combine different workarounds and start to need to extend Shopify in different ways, it can sometimes get to a point where it's a bit more kind of, you lose a lot of those benefits around like agility and kind of the non-technical nature of Shopify, I guess. So Magento 2 definitely still has a place. It's just a very different end of the market and for different types of users, I think.
Brilliant. Yeah, there's a lot of useful information in what you've just said. And actually, it's the perfect transition into what I wanted to talk about next, which was when a business comes to you, regardless of the platform that they're coming from, you have to go through a process of kind of information gathering to help dictate your advice on where you think they should go next and whether they should re-platform or not. So can you maybe talk through that process and how that works at Vivant?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess usually there'd be two stages to like the initial kind of discovery piece. So the first one would be kind of around business objectives, which is actually, you know, ultimately has like a massive input into what the business ends up doing. So, you know, if someone's looking to go from 5 to 100 million quickly, you know, that could have a really big kind of impact on the decision. Or if they're looking to internationalize, or they're looking to introduce, you know, a big wholesale channel, or it's more kind of, yeah, just D2C growth. So initially we'd be kind of, we'd be trying to extract a lot of information around the business, the objectives, the team structure, kind of capabilities they've got internally, all of that kind of stuff, just to give us some context. And then we would start to run kind of workshops, I guess, around more of the functional requirements and kind of, you know, the initial setup, how things like product are set up, if they are doing international, how the stores are set up, any kind of like real nuances from a trading perspective. Front end, back end integrations, everything else. And then we would start to look at that set of requirements and essentially start to assess what a solution looks like. And then with that solution for the different platforms, what level of customization is required, you know, the third parties are required, pros and cons of different approaches in those areas. And then we'd start to look at things like costs and how it would impact like a team, and ultimately like how different approaches in some of the key areas would kind of come back to those business objectives and like scale as the business grows or kind of continues to move forward, I guess. And then from there, like we might start to like, maybe at this point we've got one or two platforms and we're starting to really like hone in on kind of different third parties and really starting to like agree the approach. And then from there, we'd kind of go out to agencies or start to build a more detailed spec for an internal team to go in to build. And at that point, we've kind of selected the platform and built out the technology stack and kind of mapped out how the integrations would work and everything else.
And how long does that process take?
That's a good question. And it does vary. So I feel like everyone that comes to us like, wants to do that really quickly. And they say, like, you know, can we do this in a month? And I would say like in the past, we've had some clients where we have done that in a month, but it's been quite intense and there's been like less stakeholders. And it's much easier, you know, if you've got one main decision maker and you've got like only a few people involved in like the day-to-day of e-com. But generally, it'd probably be more like, I guess, 6 to 12 weeks in an ideal world. I'd say more like maybe 6 to 8 weeks on average. And then that would kind of involve different stakeholders. We'd do lots of different workshops with different parts of the business, so, you know, finance, marketing, IT, and then e-com operations, etc. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. And then I was going to say, just that you touched on the assumption there that it will, people think that it might be quite a quick turnaround. And on the topic of assumptions, are there any other assumptions or misconceptions that businesses have when they come to you and say, okay, we want to re-platform to Shopify? What are some of their misconceptions as they do that?
Yeah, 100%. So I feel like there's always loads of misconceptions around Shopify. So the biggest ones are usually like the negatives of Shopify. So one of the biggest limitations of Shopify historically and now compared to some of the other platforms is essentially the setup of multi-store. So if you've got different international stores and there's a need, if you're, you know, an international business and you've got different countries or territories that you're trading in and you need different stores. And a lot of the time that would come down to kind of nuances around either the business, you know, product catalog, warehouses, order management, etc. That if you end up with a need to have 5 independent stores, for example, in Magento, there's kind of like a global local kind of parent child relationship, where, you know, their multi-store offering is really strong. And Shopify don't really have a multi-store architecture right now. So, essentially you'd have 5 independent stores, and then you would look at different processes and third party, to kind of reduce the overhead of that for internal teams. So the misconception there, really, I guess the first one is that you can't do proper international on Shopify, and that's not the case. And, you know, we've involved different third parties, and, you know, we've got a couple of clients that use PIM, and have kind of different levels of scripting, to kind of sync stores, and also use other third parties. Like, you know, they push more stuff into their ERP, or they've just kind of like really honed at that, or kind of really, they've got really strong processes around import exports. They've selected third parties that can work across multiple stores, etc. That have actually really benefited from Shopify's approach, particularly if you've got local language as well, or you need different currencies and everything else. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really good case studies on that side. Like, I think Gymshark have got more than 10 stores. We've got a client that have got 15. Allbirds are 6 or 7, I think, and there's loads of them, and I think you just need to kind of work with that. So that's one. And then there's just loads of other ones, like, you know, complex catalog. I've had people come to us saying, you know, we've got over 1,000 products, so we can't use Shopify, when in actual fact, you know, that's pretty irrelevant really for Shopify these days. And also you can do a lot with third parties and everything else. Yeah, there's loads of misconceptions around Shopify, to be perfectly honest. And then the other one, so on top of the limitations of Shopify, you've also got people that just think Shopify is perfect, and they're like, given the trajectory and all the case studies and general kind of buzz and hype around Shopify, they're just obsessed with the idea of going with Shopify. And at that point, you know, there's been instances where we've said Shopify is not the right platform for you. And maybe the other thing is, you know, they've seen headless Shopify sites, or they've seen kind of people do a certain level of revenue on Shopify, and they just think it would still meet requirements in certain areas where it probably isn't quite the right platform. So we've definitely had that before as well. But I think, you know, out of all the platforms on the market, Shopify is definitely the one, because of the attention around it. Because, you know, all the other platforms are so frustrated with Shopify, all the other agencies using the other platforms are so frustrated with Shopify. And there's just so much attention around it, and that's just led to a lot of kind of misconceptions and misinformation, I'd say.
Yeah, that's a great kind of anecdote towards the end there, as you were saying that one of the misconceptions is that Shopify is perfect, because it's a testament in a way to their marketing.
100%,
anyone just thinks that they can pick it up and that's perfect for their business, when actually, that, like you said, it's you have to go through a bit of a needs assessment to figure that out.
But
a complete testament to the fact that some of those companies you mentioned, Gymshark, Allbirds, they've grown with the company, and now they're kind of these shining lights, and they kind of this project this vision of what can be achieved on that if you use that particular platform. So I guess a shout out to Shopify's marketing team on that one.
I think they're definitely one of the best marketing companies out there. Like, it is a really good platform, but it's insane, their marketing.
Well, yeah, actually, as we're talking about Shopify, I feel like every time I say Shopify now, I'm going to keep saying Spotify.
Yeah, that's another one. It's pretty common.
Once it's in your head, it's very hard to get out. But it's standing out to me that, I guess, it just in the world of business, the two things that you want are, number one, start with a product. You want an amazing product. And if you've got that, and then you can combine that with great marketing where you've got longevity. And I think Shopify have the product. They have a great product. And then they've added the marketing element to it. I mean, again, I've been in marketing for a while. So for me, Shopify, like I said, I think it came on my radar about 7 years ago. It might have even been even longer. And even back then, they had started out with such a strong content marketing strategy.
Yeah.
So they invested in that from the very start. So it's no surprise to really see them see where they are today in that respect.
Yeah.
Moving on to, I guess we're going to stumble across more misconceptions as we talk through this, but also a lot of the great things about Shopify. So maybe can you speak on the pros and cons more explicitly of Shopify, particularly for SMEs?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think for kind of SMEs, like, you know, small businesses that maybe don't have e-commerce teams, just generally kind of smaller businesses, I think there's so many pros. So outside of features, like I say, you've got kind of the agility piece, you know, the entire ecosystem around the platform means you could very, very quickly set up a store, you know, use a base theme. There's so many apps available and, you know, even native kind of channels within Shopify as well. You could integrate with marketplaces, you could use their POS, you know, things like Google Shopping, Facebook, so easy to set up. And everything's kind of very configurable. So I think, yeah, I mean, and then beyond that, you've kind of got the less technical nature of the platform generally. But yeah, I think there's a huge amount of pros for SMEs. And then a lot of that still scales up, but it becomes quite different as the businesses get bigger, where you don't tend to use a lot of those apps and kind of default channels. You would use more kind of like enterprise third parties, I guess, around the platform. And then I guess in terms of cons, so as much as Shopify continues to grow and, you know, they release features so quickly, like, you know, around COVID, you know, things like curbside pickup, the rate of which they've been kind of introducing features around POS and social and some of these kind of newer things they're doing with you know, Facebook and Google and everything else is just insane. But there are still some core areas of the platform which still need improvement. So international in general has been something they've been working on a lot over the last few years, but there's still no ability to have kind of fixed price books right now for multi-currency. There's still no underlying multi-store architecture. B2B, as much as I believe it's coming pretty soon, they're still like, you know, that's still not as strong as most of their competitors. And also things like Shopify Payments is a massive pro in terms of getting set up to take payments super quickly, really easily, fully integrated with the platform. But if for any reason you're ineligible for Shopify Payments, or it just doesn't meet your requirements, payments can be a real kind of struggle with Shopify. So yeah, there's definitely pros and cons. I think the other thing is, I haven't really said it, but Shopify is really rigid as a platform. Like, it's getting more open, and like the front end now you have, you know, the ability to create completely customized front end experiences and sites look completely different from each other. You know, and even on the back end, you know, via their APIs and apps, you can actually achieve really complex things with Shopify. But it is rigid. Like the checkout's very rigid. As good as it is, you can't really customize it a lot. There's certain areas of Shopify where you literally just cannot customize it, and that can be very frustrating. So yeah, definitely kind of pros and cons, but the pros are pretty strong, I would say, right now, particularly for a retailer that's kind of, yeah, eligible or a good fit for Shopify.
And a couple of questions just around some pros and cons. So another thing that I'm just seeing as an observer, and I've spoken to other people on the podcast about this recently, is users now expecting different payment solutions.
Yeah.
So I'm talking things like Klarna, Clearpay, and so forth. Are those payment options easy to integrate with Shopify?
Yeah, so actually one of the big benefits, or like, this is a massive benefit of Shopify. So if you're using Shopify Payments, straight away you have a lot of payment options available to you, particularly things like Apple Pay, Android Pay, you know, PayPal, everything else. And then you have Shop Pay, which is Shopify's kind of own digital wallet payment method that allows you to essentially pay in pretty much one click if you checked out on Shopify before and saved your details. So that's massive, and that's getting much bigger. And from the data that I've seen in the past, it looks like it converts really well. And we've got a few clients that use it and love it. So yeah, overall payments are really strong. And then on top of that, you've got you've essentially got a section within Shopify where you can select different payment options, depending on what that option is. So something like Klarna, you can integrate directly within Shopify really quickly. Some of the other ones you would use a third party. So something like Molly, which is essentially like, a company that would just manage the integration with the payment methods. So like the other day with a client, I wanted to set up Ideal, Sofort, GiroPay, Klarna, and Alipay. And I was able to do it within about 15 minutes. And they did already have a Molly account. But yeah, that's a big pro again, because when you're doing that with some of the more enterprise or more complex platforms, you're talking a lot of development work as opposed to configuration, like back-end configuration.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
That's brilliant. And that's amazing for e-commerce owners that are just looking for very easy payment solutions. I guess that's what, and again, another reason Shopify is a good go-to. And on the flip side, again, I was speaking to someone recently and they were talking about the frustration with, I think it was the Shopify search functionality.
Yeah.
Is that a problem? Is that something you've experienced?
I mean, it's not very good. right. I mean, very few platforms have a strong native search capability. And I don't really know why this, I was talking to someone yesterday about search and merchandising, and I guess the ability, how long it would take a platform to create a really good base offering. So search is an example where you're always going to have a third party that's going to be 10 times stronger because that company is solely focused on search. And in most cases with the really good solutions, they've got like backgrounds in natural language processing and machine learning and everything else. But I do think that all of the platforms should have like a base level of kind of searchandising, essentially, where you can have, or you can have some level of control over things like the ordering of results, prioritization, more control over things like synonyms and filters and everything else, like really basic stuff. But overall, yeah, so Shopify is not great, but there's a lot of third parties. So at the lower end, you've got solutions like Boost and Search and Eyes, and then you've got companies like Klaviyo or Algolia at the higher end and various ones in between. That again is like you really do utilize the ecosystem kind of as you grow with Shopify.
Is there any standout feature of Shopify that you just wish they had that you either get commonly requested from clients or prospects?
100% multi-store. Yeah.
Right, there you go. And moving on to the marketing angle of this, so I'm really interested to know, so you've actually mentioned yourself that Shopify has evolved over the years to work with so many third-party developers. There are lots of Shopify plugins for lots of different use cases, but can you maybe speak on some of the marketing ones that are most interested maybe to our listeners and to yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So like our average client, so from a marketing and CX perspective, so the ones that we work with most commonly, so we would usually use Nosto for like personalization, so product recommendations, content personalization, sometimes kind of bundles with a level of personalization. We would then usually use Klaviyo for search, which I mentioned before, something like Reach for potentially on more commonly or increasingly commonly, we're starting to use Reach for international payment methods, Recharge for subscriptions, and then Ametria.digital or Klaviyo for kind of email or CRM. And then we've been using Glue for reporting quite a lot recently. And then on top of those, so they're more kind of CX ones, I guess. And then you've got something like, we work with Elevar a lot for kind of Google Analytics, GTM, particularly if you're using some of the other kind of third parties like Recharge for subscriptions. They've got a really nice offering. And then for the paid side of the business, we work with DataFeed Watch quite a lot for like creating like a base shop and feed. And then we would integrate with something like Shoptimized or Feed Optimized or something like that to then further optimize that. I guess they're probably the main ones from a marketing perspective, I think.
And just as we're speaking on marketing a little bit, are there any major, I guess, obstacles for marketers that you see in respect of Shopify, kind of common requests or feedback
one
that
thing,
you get?
Yeah, so there's one thing I've missed, and that I shouldn't have missed on this podcast in particular, but the SEO side of Shopify is actually the other big one that is in probably actually the biggest frustration for a lot of people with that are moving to Shopify. And like, it's often, I've actually had some clients that were perfectly suited to Shopify but have gone with BigCommerce because it's more open from an SEO perspective. So very rigid in that perspective. So URL structure is fixed. You can't edit the robots.txt. A few kind of other bits, and that can be very frustrating. So essentially, the big one for me is the URL piece. So if I've got 5 international stores and I'm looking to move to Shopify, and currently they're on subfolders, I would need to move them to, or almost definitely, dependent on the requirement, I'd need to move them to subdomains or ccTLDs. So there's like a domain migration element, which is avoidable with other platforms. And then on top of that, every URL on the site is likely to change as a result of the kind of fixed URL structure with products, collections, pages, blogs. SEO is a bit of an annoying one, to be perfectly honest. There is a way around, like if you wanted to go down the headless route, which has a lot of major knock-on effects as well, you can control the URLs, but essentially you're going back into the realms of creating like a really technical platform solution. The SEO one is a big one, I would say.
It goes back to your point earlier, actually, where you were saying that Shopify might not be for everyone, and in fact, you need to go through that process of assessing your requirements. And it could be that, if organic search, for whatever reason, is the number one driver of your revenue or traffic to your site, and that's your kind of, that's your bread and butter, then you might want to strongly consider before you move to Shopify, because although as you've said, although there are workarounds, you're not going to get exactly the same organic search experience and features for SEO. That's really interesting. I mean, just from my perspective, that was a problem with Shopify very early on when I started to hear about Shopify. And I feel like what I'm reading over the years, Shopify has definitely improved in respect of the SEO elements and flexibility, but it's still, from what you're saying, it seems like they've still got quite a way to go. And actually, on that point, it leads me to my next question, which was going to be about emerging platforms.
Yeah.
So again, just from a marketer's perspective, not only am I seeing kind of this option now with flexible payment solutions, but with things like Facebook stores emerging, people being able to buy directly from social platforms, there doesn't seem to be any let up in the way in which you can buy products online. So I'm just, from your perspective, interested to know if you see any emerging e-commerce platforms that might rival Shopify in the short term.
Yeah, so I think Shopify's got so broad now, and they cover, like, you could literally see the top end Shopify's got stores doing over $1 billion online, and then you've got people doing, like nothing, essentially, like really small businesses. So I think at the higher end, and it's not necessarily, they're a small player in that enterprise market, but there's some really cool platforms there. So I think Commerce Tools is the really obvious one, which is like an API first, like hyper modern platform that you would kind of build on top of. And I think that's winning, they're winning a lot of big businesses. And it's a very compelling offering, I guess, particularly if you're like a CTO or technical leader. So I think at the higher end, you've got platforms like Commerce Tools, also like Elastic Path, various other kind of smaller ones that are up and coming. In the mid-market, BigCommerce is doing really well, in the UK in particular. So they're quite a new entrant, and they've picked up a lot of really nice deals recently. And they've got a similar proposition to Shopify with a few kind of features that Shopify aren't as strong in as well, particularly B2B. So BigCommerce is a big one for them, I think. particularly in Europe. And then you've got, I mean, to be honest, it's going to be really interesting to see what platforms. So like MailChimp acquired an e-com platform. I think it was last year, it might have been the year before. Square are really pushing in e-com at the lower end. And then there's constantly new entrants. And then you've also got in that mid-market again, like, you know, there's a platform called Centra that we've been looking at quite a lot recently in Sweden that's starting to move into new markets. You've got Shopware from Germany that are growing and kind of modernizing as a platform. So yeah, I mean, to be honest, there's loads. It's actually like, and in the US, there's another one called Work Area that's very impressive, like really impressive. So I'd say like this is like the most crowded this space has ever been for me, and like it's just constantly changing. But I still think Shopify's got a way, like it'll take some beating in that kind of brand mid-market space.
Yeah, it goes to show just if there's an area that tends to have a lot of competition or early competition, then it's probably an area for your customers that's important. And what I mean by that is it just goes to show just how e-commerce is changing, and also all of the ways in which people are buying now and expecting to buy is just changing so rapidly. So it's an exciting place to be, and it's I guess that's one of the reasons that it's so exciting to talk to you, because you're in that on a day-to-day basis at the moment. And though I can imagine that can be very difficult and stressful at times, keeping on top of everything, it's also probably really exciting and really interesting to see all these platforms, including Shopify, emerge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, this is definitely like I love it at the moment. It's just and it's not just e-com platforms. It's all like the technology partners and vendors around the platforms as well that are just doing really well, like, you know, areas like customer service, personalization, search, like all of these tools are just constantly like getting better. And then like ultimately like extending the platforms and areas like payments as well. Like, I just think, e-com is a really exciting place to be now. And like everyone says that COVID has kind of pushed e-com forward 10 years. And a lot of these technology companies are like doing so much to try and like keep up with the demand. And it is a really exciting place to be at the moment.
Amazing. Well, it's been great to talk to you. And before I let you go, do you just want to let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and Vivant?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So essentially, yeah, Vivant.com. Relatively small agency, e-com specific paid media, and then also the consultancy side. And then I have a blog, which is PaulNRodgers.com, which is an e-commerce blog. And then I also run a podcast called Replatform.fm, which I run with another e-com consultant who's very knowledgeable called James Gerd. And then I think that's it.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to recommend that if you're a business out there that's considering replatforming, reach out to Paul. And just on the, because we touched on the organic search front, at Site Visibility, we've invested a lot of our time and effort in historically helping businesses that are replatforming manage the SEO side of their migrations and ensuring we're kind of protecting their traffic and their business, essentially. And we've produced a guide called I think it's called the Ultimate Migration Guide, and you can still find that at bit.ly/ultimate-migration. So it stands out to me. If you're thinking of replatforming, reach out to Paul, reach out to Site Visibility, and both protect your traffic and really ease your life by picking the right platform into the future for yourself. Paul, I'm just going to thank you again for your time, and wish you all the best.
Great, thank you very much.
Brilliant, thanks for that, Paul. Take care.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.